Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Well, we mentioned that the four quarterbacks left are pretty good, right? Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, who's reminding me of Magic Johnson in his rookie year. I mean, Jaden Daniels might walk off with this whole thing, Bob. He's that good.
He really is, and he's not making mistakes. I mean, it's so difficult to do what he's done in that first year on the job. And I think the key to him is he's gotten better and better as the year's gone on. We look at that game against the Steelers, in which he really was not that much of a factor. They controlled his running. He passed for over 200 yards, and that's it. Barely over 200. They still put up 27 points. But I think since that point, if you look at what he's done, he's taken it to another level, whereas I think the Steelers at that point went in a different direction. But the quarterback is the most important position. They got one now. They don't have to worry about that. Daniel Snyder must be just vomiting everywhere.
This guy in 2 years as an owner has as many playoff wins as Daniel Snyder had in 24 years as an owner or something like that, a quarter century, whatever it was.
But, the difference? He didn't meddle with everything.
Right.
Some of these guys
have
meddled.
No, he went out and found the right people to run his organization, and they wind up with a quarterback. And the Steelers are just stuck in this purgatory now. Our greatest fears come true. In trying to replace Ben, they reached for Kenny, made a mistake with Mason 2 years, 4 years really before that. Took a swing with Russell and Justin Fields. Mitch Trubisky was in the mix. They're 0-4. Oh, really? 0-5.
0-5.
Ben.
Yep.
That's not good. So what next? I think this really puts it up in our faces here when you look at the conference championship games. And just to reiterate, nobody's breaking news that you need a star quarterback, but we did this last week, Bob. There have been 24 Super Bowl champions starting with the year 2000. 19 of them were Hall of Famers in their prime. 42% of those Super Bowls have been won by Mahomes or Brady. And the only exceptions were players surrounded literally by all-time great defenses. That was the 2000 Ravens, the 2002 Bucks, and the 2015 Broncos. Three all-time defenses lifted quarterbacks. Peyton Manning was done by then, but a defense lifted them to the Super Bowl. That leaves two outliers since the year 2000. Joe Flacco, who was pretty good.
Historically good in that 1 year.
He went on a Hall of Fame run. So for all intents and purposes, for that period of time, he was a Hall of Famer. And the real outlier is Nick Foles, who one day woke up and outplayed Tom Brady, even though Brady threw for 500 yards that day. So I guess if you're hoping for something like that to happen, sure it could. Plus, they had Carson Wentz that year, an MVP candidate.
So he got hurt.
Who helped them get where they got on the field.
At the time, he was Carson Wentz, the next franchise guy who was going to make a difference and be there for two decades.
Yeah.
And he wasn't.
It's just virtually impossible to win if you don't have a guy, and the Steelers don't. So that brings me to this story. You'll see a couple of headlines like this, but this is right out of the Tennessean. Nick Suss covers the Titans for the Tennessean, Bob. He looked at every quarterback option they have.
You're talking about Tennessee now.
Yeah, they have the number one pick.
Right.
So they got some good ones. If you like those guys. If you like those guys. And that's obviously Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, right?
Not in that order.
No, whatever order you want. But he also talks about the, maybe you can fix them category. Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields. the Minnesota Vikings category. Maybe you get Darnold or McCarthy. And then the Aaron Rodgers category is one unto himself. But tier one, if they want a veteran in Tennessee, if they don't want to go the draft route, they'd rather get somebody else. Tier one is, are these guys really possibilities? Dak Prescott and Matthew Stafford. Bob and Limits, what's your interest? Forget about what you need to do to get him. Forget about everything else. What's your interest level in either one of those guys?
I really have none for either. I like Stafford a lot. I think he's a proven commodity. He's up there in age. If you're trying to win right now, this year coming up, he would make sense more so than Dak. I'm not a Dak Prescott fan. I think he's one of those guys who puts up numbers during the regular season, and when critical moments appear, bad things happen. And I think that's why Dallas hasn't been to one of these games since 1995. So I say no on that one.
I have no interest in either of them. Well, I mean, Stafford yesterday after they lost was talking about the potential of retirement.
Yeah.
And Dak Prescott, I think, is the most mid-average quarterback in the NFL, and you're not winning playoff games with him.
Overpaid.
He's the highest paid quarterback in the entire NFL, and he's completely overpaid. I would not want Dak on the team.
No, me neither.
Justin Fields can only dream of doing things that Dak Prescott has done.
But he still can do it because he has a runway ahead of him.
Wake me up when Justin Fields has 330 touchdown seasons, including one where he had 37-10.
Are you ruling out that he can't possibly do it?
And one that he had 36-9. I would take Dak Prescott 1,000 times over Justin Fields.
And you're going to take his $60 million with you. And,
$89 million cap hit next year.
And it doesn't, to me, solve still the long-term question about getting your guy. I don't think he's your guy. And if you did that, you'd have to give up a lot. I just don't think it's a good match.
Yeah, and he did that with what? Kellen Morris's coordinator and a very good offensive line and a better running game that he's had recently.
Okay, then every quarterback who comes here will be broken then.
He's an average quarterback. He's just completely average.
That's ridiculous to call him an average.
He's better than average, but he's not the kind of guy who I think takes it to that next level. What I would say to you, Joe, is that my best bet if I'm the Steelers is looking at 2026 and the karma all leading up to the draft here in Pittsburgh. They could be in a position if you sign Fields to a 2-year, 3, whatever it is, at a modest price comparatively, and try to develop him, fine. If it doesn't work, chances are you're going to sink a little lower, and you may be in a position to draft that next quarterback, and you can do it here in Pittsburgh. I know that it doesn't matter where you take the guy from, whether it's here, Green Bay, whatever. Next year is a more fruitful,
Bob, they're going to do the same thing they always do, no matter who's the quarterback,
which is go 9-8
and get embarrassed in the playoffs and still not have a quarterback.
Okay, then you're going
to They're not going to sink to 4-13.
I'm saying move more into position where you'd be 12th, 13th picking and you can make a deal or do something of that nature. And I'm also hopeful that I think Justin Fields can actually do some things if he's developed the proper way. I like his talent. I like his arm. He needs to, figure out decision making in the pocket more, how to work in the pocket more. But I've seen guys develop, and I use Darnold as the biggest example. He was all over the place, throwing interceptions to people that didn't exist.
But you still don't like him enough to have him here.
No, because I think he has too many of those things, and he costs too much. I would rather go Fields for now and then figure out some other plan. But you got to have a plan.
I haven't seen too many guys after 40 career starts suddenly have a feel for the pocket, a feel for the game, and a touch on the ball.
But that guy
I haven't seen too many
different coordinators in his time, and he's had a lot of different stuff thrown at him. I think it squelches your development a little bit, don't you?
Sure, but I watched him play, and I don't think he suddenly learns how to play quarterback and becomes a good passer. I'm sorry, I don't think he's an elite runner. I'll give him that, but there are other guys who come in and just have a feel for it. Look at Daniels as an example. They have it. Justin Fields doesn't. Now, I'm not a huge Dak Prescott fan by any means, but given their choices, you call him average Limits. The guy's got 213 touchdown passes and 82 picks in his career. In his last full season, he had 36 touchdowns and 9 interceptions and was second team All-Pro and second in the MVP ballot.
Yeah, good for him. The Dink and Dak offense, how far has it gotten them in the playoffs?
Well, that's a different story.
Yeah, he's not somebody that can overcome obstacles that are on his team, and he's had a lot of good weapons around him up until recently when they've had to pay CeeDee Lamb and others.
Right, but to call him average, I think, is ludicrous.
Yeah, I don't.
No?
He's not somebody that I average.
You've seen other average quarterbacks finish second in the MVP vote?
congratulations. He had a good coaching staff around him.
Well,
he beat up on Washington. He beat up on the Giants. He beat up on a bunch of bad teams for a while.
I mean, he's 76.
And then they got boat raced by Green Bay in the playoffs.
He's 76 and 46 in his career. So, again, I'm not saying he's a savior or a great player or anything like that. But compared to what they have, and by the way, he's had some good playoff games. Like, he's just, it's not like he craps out in every single playoff game. He's had some horrific ones. I'll grant you that. He has. I think your best point is that anybody who comes here is going to be handcuffed by the scheme, perhaps by a young offensive line, and let's see what they do for weapons. But if you told me the Steelers could go into next season with Dak Prescott and T. Higgins, that would perk me up a little bit.
It'll perk you up. It'll perk you up. I don't know if it gets to where you need to go. Again, I respect what he's done during the regular season. I'm just not a big fan of what he's done in the postseason and in bigger moments. He throws critical interceptions at the bad times, and that's one of the reasons why Dallas is where they are, never winning or even getting to the playoffs sometimes. So, I don't know. I just that strikes me as a move I wouldn't want to make.
I hear you.
Somebody younger that I can control, develop. Well, again, I look at the 2026 draft. For now, it's Justin Fields. And I'll go that direction until I figure out who's available next year.
Yeah, I guess I hear that. If I could guarantee that they would
tank.
There
is this belief that Russell Wilson is still coming back here and at a big 3-year deal. Would you do that?
God, no. And I'm a Russell Wilson or was a Russell Wilson fan. God, no. Of course I wouldn't. I mean, for all his troubles in the playoffs, by the way, Dak Prescott in the playoffs has 14 touchdowns, 7 picks, and a 92 passer rating. When they beat Tampa in 22, he had 4 touchdowns and no picks in that game. When they beat Green Bay, or actually they lost to Green Bay 1 year, 34-31, he had 3 touchdowns and 1 pick in that game. I think he's a good player.
I didn't say he wasn't.
He's a good player. He's way better than Justin Fields.
$60 million, I don't want him, and I'd rather figure out my own player.
Well, that's the problem. He's an $89 million cap hit next year. Yeah. So there will be all kinds of financial implications. But the original question was, forget about everything else, would he be an upgrade on Justin Fields? And my answer is a resounding yes. Is yours, Bob?
I mean, upgrade, sure. I'm not resounding anything.
Stafford, I think, is almost done. If I had a real team and a real system and weapons, he's still very good.
He showed that yesterday, I thought. The throw to Nacua at the end of the game before he was sacked because Kevin Dotson missed his man, I thought showed you what he's all about. He's a clutch guy. He has been, in his entire career.
Here's the other thing, is that Prescott is low-key almost 32 years old. So under normal circumstances, I wouldn't think about it. If I thought I had a really good team around him, then I would move those mountains. But probably in the end, it's too much money and too much risk for a team that's not ready to win anyway. But that can change. You know, the Steelers have long been loath to go out and buy a football team. They've started to change in that respect by signing guys like Patrick Queen. So they could change the look of their team. They have a ton of cap space. What do you think they're going to do?
They're going to get more cap space. They're going to let go of a lot of guys.
What do you think they should do? What's priority number one?
Wide receiver
and quarterback.
Well, who are you going to get at quarterback?
But the quarterback, I don't know if they can solve that this year. So in the meantime, I'll try to load up on my weapons and figure out the next quarterback as time.
So then you'll have a bunch of disgruntled wide receivers who can't get the ball, who are losing games.
So what are you suggesting? You say you don't want
Wilson
back.
I don't know, man.
You got to deal with reality. Reality is there are not many tremendous options out there. You have a kid here who's young enough, I still think, to take another step. How big of a step, we'll see. But I would start there.
And if there was a way to get Dak Prescott, I'd get him. But like I said, I think he's too expensive. I think it would probably wind up being a bad investment because he'd have to stretch out his deal over a number of years, and it would become a mess for a team that's not ready to win. So I guess in the end, I agree with you that probably Justin Fields is the best option. Prescott intrigues me, though, but Justin Fields is probably the best option. I just know you're not going to win with him.
I just think you'd end up with the same kind of excitement that Russell Wilson kind of garnered when they made the signing here to bring him here. People are just, wow, Russell Wilson. I just think you're looking at a guy whose best days are behind him. And I look at Dak Prescott the same way. I just do. That's just me. Maybe I'd be wrong with that. I'd rather just figure out something else.
I guess in the end, you're going to have to. But it, just for the record, last season when he was healthy, he had 36 touchdowns, 9 picks, and was second team All-Pro, and they went 12-5. So, but he also had weapons, you know?
Well, that's the thing. They have to work in that department here. And I think weapons all over the place. And I also think this offensive line is going to be under a lot of pressure next year. They're flip-flop. They're going to move Broderick Jones over. He got worse this season after 1 year at right tackle. Last season, I thought he'd be better. He was not. Can he be that guy at left tackle? He better be, because they invested a lot in him. And we haven't seen all that much of the number one pick, Fatanu, and he's going to get the right tackle position. I still think he's a really good player. But we don't have a whole bunch of tape on him over the course of years. Just a few games in college, and we'll see what he can do. So that's going to be key. No matter who your quarterback is, your offensive line has got to be better.
Prescott attempted 60 passes in that playoff loss to Green Bay last year. He was 41 of 60. That is unbelievable. They lost 48-32 in that game. Remember how good Jordan Love was in that game?
Yeah, he's another guy who got $53 million.
What other lessons, what other reflections do you have on the Steelers in relation to these conference championship games, oh, limitless wonder?
That maybe they're playing a different sport than everyone else right now.
Yeah.
The teams that are in it, like high-powered offense. And I wouldn't go out there and just get a quarterback to say that you got a quarterback if you don't think it's going to be a long-term fix. That's why I'd be completely okay if they bottomed out this year, or at least whatever the Steeler version of that is, and then draft a quarterback.
But
in
you say
26.
You want them to sign elite receivers and spend a ton of money.
Yeah, because I'd like that. Because I'd like what they did in Washington with Terry McLaurin. And yes, you can.
You can bottom out and sign good players.
You can sign some good players, and if you don't have the quarterback position right, you're not going to thrive. And if you have a secondary that still is not very good, you're not going to thrive against a lot of these really good passing offenses.
Don't you want to see
him
buy a corner too? Especially if they're not going to buy a quarterback, they should have tons of money to reinforce their team. They're definitely going to be good enough with Justin Fields to go 9-8, Bob. Maybe even 10-7.
You would think, but then again, what does that do for you?
Nothing.
But if I'm betting on Justin Fields, I'm betting that he could be a better passer. And I think there's a way to develop that. I really do. If you have the right people around you who can work with him in that regard. I think this year was a good year for him in that he didn't have all that much pressure on him. He sat back, kind of took it all in. Watch Russell Wilson work.
Yeah.
I think that could have an effect on him positively moving forward. So,
well, a piece of news that relates to all this that came out Saturday was that Adam Schefter revealed that the Chicago Bears were a team that called the Steelers. I wrote about this yesterday. What a golden opportunity for Art, for Mike, and for the Bears that was just neglected, because apparently Art treated the caller, you know, just like they were a telemarketer. No, thank you. No, thank you.
I
Goodbye.
Don't know. Is that the story? Is that what it
That's
was?
That's Schefter's story, is that the Bears
called and were immediately rebuffed. Well, the immediately, defined immediate, if it's immediate, like you just described, that's one thing. If they also knew that he has a no-trade clause, and if they went to him and said, hey, would you be agreeable to this? And if he said no, that's immediate also. So who knows how that actually
There's
went
no
down.
Indication from Schefter that they approached Tomlin about waiving his no-trade clause.
But you don't know that for sure.
I'm going to trust him since he's done all the reporting on the story.
I understand, but he didn't say that in his story.
Yes, he did. He said they were informed that Tomlin has a no-trade clause and rebuffed immediately.
And that doesn't mean that they didn't ask him. They could have asked him.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that they didn't ask him.
But the point is, you're right.
If they went and asked him, we'd have a hell of a story on our hands, because it would mean that Art didn't want Mike around anymore.
But I don't know if you'll ever get that part of the story out. I don't know.
Listen,
they gave him that contract, so it is what it is. And they... Again, last year, they did not have to give him one. They could have just let it thing play out.
But they did, so now we're here.
So you shouldn't be surprised that they say no to this.
Why?
Because they believe in him.
I'm not surprised by it, but why wouldn't you go to him? And if you're Tomlin, why wouldn't you consider it? You go to a new... It's a fresh start. This is done. This has run its course. It's been 18 years, the last eight of which have been completely fruitless. They've gone nearly a decade without being competitive in a single playoff game. It's done.
Right. They have 8-1 and duns. To that point, I hear what you're saying. And I would have been, to me, if I'm in charge of any organization.
Or none and duns. They've missed the playoffs three times.
Right. But when they're in there, eight, one and done. So that's more than any of these other contemporaries that he's always aligned to. So I would ask questions. I always ask. I want to listen to what people say. And if someone has, if you are interested in trading for George Pickens or TJ Watt, I'll listen. I should listen. My obligation is to listen. And I would have listened to that too. And I would try to figure something out if I felt obligated to do it because it's in the best interest of my team. They must not think that way.
Once you approach Tomlin, everything changes because then obviously he says, oh, you want to get rid of me. Okay, then let's have a conversation about that. That would be a gigantic story. I thought that opportunity presented itself. A nice, easy way out of a relationship that doesn't work anymore.
Let's say that it did go through and he said, okay, fine, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And he had, what do you think the compensation would have been?
Oh, my God. The Bears? This is the same team that gave up the equivalent of a first-round pick for Chase Claypool.
They also should be on their guard not to do it again.
They might have given them their 85 Super Bowl trophy for Tomlin. Definitely one first-round pick at least.
I think it would be more than that, given what we've seen from some of these deals in the past.
And then, and the other thing, Bob, is you just can't nobody can convince me that the Steelers and Tomlin haven't thought about what life would be like outside of this relationship that doesn't work anymore. You can't convince me they both haven't thought of it. They're tied together because of this $50 million extension, which doesn't even kick in till next season. Tomlin would get to go to a place where he's celebrated as an incoming hero with a career 630 winning percentage. He gives them automatic sort of, you know, Q rating, integrity, a guy with a great reputation, and he gets what they don't have here, what we just spent an hour talking about,
a
possible franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
The Steelers don't have to fire him. In fact, it's an amicable parting where both sides get immense rewards. He gets what I just described. They get maybe a chance for this franchise quarterback, or at least
it makes sense
to
I'm
infuse
not
their roster.
That it makes sense, but it wasn't going to work because of what they did last year.
Why is Art so afraid?
They didn't even have to go through again. I just the contract was one thing. I thought if they're going to do it, 1 year extension, whatever.
Yeah.
Three was a little eyebrow raising, I thought, at the time, given what you just described.
Well, for those of us who thought that maybe Tomlin's fate should be intertwined with him hiring Matt Canada and drafting Kenny Pickett and having those both blow up, man, I didn't think that merited a handsome raise and an unusually long contract extension. But that's what he got, and that's where they are. I just wonder why Art is so afraid to move on. What is it? This presented them with an unbelievable, everybody, the Bears, Tomlin, and the Steelers, with an unbelievable opportunity for everybody. It would have been perfect.
But it didn't happen, which now leads me to believe that you're not going to see much, if any, change here, which is really surprising if it doesn't happen.
I know.
And I know they normally take it's early in their process. They will make change. I got to believe they're going to make changes because Mike Tomlin said that on many levels. What are those changes? You know?
For me, the biggest change they can make that would really carry some weight, it's nothing with the coaching staff. There's nothing they can do that matters. There's only one more guy to look at when it comes to coaches. They've changed GMs. They've changed coordinators. They've changed quarterbacks. They've changed everything except the head coach. He's the guy to look at. But short of that, I think the biggest sea change they can make is to spend tons of money on free agents and bring in some really significant players. To me, that would be a significant change, right?
Yeah, and I think they may do that this year, mostly because they don't have the answers internally, and they know that at some of these positions. So
they brought in Queen, but I'm talking about getting
the prize.
I'm talking
about wide receiver.
I'm talking about T. Higgins
getting
the prize of the receiver class.
If you did that, then it would, to me, it would make a trading of George Pickens easier for them to do. And I believe somebody out there would take him and give you something for him, and then you'd redraft the position. I could see them signing T. Higgins. I could see them then drafting another receiver and trying to fortify that position really quickly because they're going to need to do that at some point. And you may as well do that now because it looks like a pretty loaded wide receiver class.
Man, I'll tell you what I would do, Bob, and I love that idea. And Limits, you can jump in here. How we fix the Steelers offense, or at least even if we don't think it'll work in the end, the best route toward it